and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
So yesterday.
Shut up, Carly. Entitled hoe. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Napa. Napa Know How. StephanieMiller.com, that website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lloyd. Voice deity, Jim Ward. Associate producer, Rebecca Taylor. Or me, Stephanie Miller. And it is indeed Friday.
Oh, thank you, Steph. Is that the hair you're going with today?
Is that the hair? This is it. This is as good as it gets.
Oh, my God. I wish you people could see this hairstyle on her. It's just so 2 weeks ago. I mean, really?
It's actually 2 decades ago. It's like Susan
Day.
Her hair is
feathered. It's like, yeah, you have a Linda Gray hair. It's awful.
So yesterday.
Oh. But in all fairness to me, I didn't say that. My friend said that, and I'm just repeating it.
Don't you love, Chris, that she only apologized to Sean Hannity?
Yeah.
Not to Barbara Boxer or to Meg Whitman.
By the way, Meg Whitman is kind of pissed.
What have you heard? Tell me the California gossip.
I'll find that story and I'll read it to you a little bit later on.
If she's really pissed.
Girl fight!
If she's really pissed, Meg Whitman will buy Carly and make her stop.
She'll shove her into the lockers later.
I hope so.
Meow! Cat fight. Yay!
I would bid on that.
Will there be hair pulling? Oh, okay.
It's always hotter when it's Republican girls having the cat fight. It's just, I don't know, it's just dirtier somehow.
John Fugel saying, oh, what do you think of our not ready for prime time Senate candidate?
Well, I can't. It's wonderful. She only began voting, last year, I think, was the first year she voted? So that's wonderful.
She's ruined everything already, and the year of the woman just started, and she's already made us look like catty, bitchy.
Well, it's interesting because
shallow, mean girls.
Yeah. Fiorina is Italian for listen to what I'm saying right now and ignore my entire record.
Because that's
really it. She's outsourced enough jobs, but she's only bankrupted one company. If she bankrupted three, she could run for president.
That's
as a
right.
Republican,
exactly. That moves you up on the totem pole, apparently.
Or governor of Texas, at least.
You had a good line before the show, which I told you not to waste. You said,
"Oh, I just said I'd rather have yesterday's hair than yesterday's ideas."
John Fugel saying, "Chris,
why,
right out of the gate with the zingers."
HP stands for Hair Police.
Hey.
Hair police, pull over, please. Yeah, it's wow. It's an entertaining.
She's great.
And how many levels of crazy already is what's her name, Chris, in Nevada? Sharon Angle.
Oh yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I got to be drunk to get through one of her speeches. I tell you, she's wonderful. I wish it had been Sue Loudon because then we could have just had a lot of chicken jokes for the next few months.
I know.
But Harry Reid might have found somebody more Mormon than he.
Did you, Chris? Did you see her website? That all her crazy ideas have magically been scrubbed.
Oh,
and now it just says, just donate, just give me money. Shut up! It's Harry Reid. Don't.
They've been wished out
into
the cornfield.
Yes. Don't look at the what? Don't look at my crazy ideas. They're not here anymore.
Yeah,
just give money.
Nevada Republicans are so inept, they're legally Democrats. It's very exciting.
However, in the latest polls, they're kind of neck and neck. So, yeah.
Are they really?
Yes, they are.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Heaven.
But Harry Reid came back from, a big deficit in the, before, so he can do it again.
Yeah, exactly. All right. In the meantime, the...
And Harry Reid can raise more money off of drunks.
Exactly.
Yes. Even though Harry Reid doesn't
drink
either.
Of course,
she lost
me. No drinking in Nevada?
Yeah.
Okay.
Harry Reid's a Mormon, and he's for drinking in Nevada.
Exactly. So, could the oil spill get any more? It's a new level of... New figures for the blown-out well at the bottom of the Gulf show the amount of oil spewing may have been up to twice as much as previously thought, according to scientists consulting with the federal government.
Are you suggesting that BP was less than honest with their information?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My.
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm.
Computer says, yeah.
Well, we should put them in full charge of cleaning this up, then.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know at this point. Seriously, Chris, I can't look at that picture anymore. It's making me sick to my stomach. It's not just the animals. It's the watching that the gushing. You're just and sitting there feeling helpless.
Now it's HD.
Huh?
Have you seen that? Now they have an HD picture of it.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
You can see the devastation that much more clearly.
Yeah.
It looks like the smoke monster from Lost. But
it really
stops.
Does. But at least the smoke monster eventually died at the end.
That's true. This is now the size of South Carolina, but in fairness, politically, it's much cleaner.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. And have you heard the mayor of London is saying, Obama, you better not be bashing Britain anymore?
Ah.
Yes, he's been offered
because he's been very focused on that it's really the country of England's fault.
Yeah.
And he would like to start a second revolution. Because
but what the mayor of London is saying is that Obama's bashing BP, and many pensions in Great Britain are tied to BP.
Yep, and now the concern is that BP might try to declare bankruptcy because their stock crashed so far. Folks, BP made $6 billion in the first quarter of this year. They were given one quarter of the Iraq oil when we handed it over to four Western oil companies. They can afford the cleanup. They're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Chris, we had Mike Papantonio on yesterday, but I don't know the legal standard, but, you know, because obviously there's been talk about seizing their assets and whether, you know, what the government can do legally or not at this point, because, you know, yeah, that would be the fear, if they find a way to weasel out of it.
Yeah, I don't know that we have the right to seize their assets. However, we can deny them, you know, the permits to drill in our waters.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, I love the Republican reaction. Is clearly what we've learned from this thus far is to just go more drilling and immediately, because that's...
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, you know, Tom Hartman and a lot of other guys I love would like America to nationalize BP. I don't think we can because it's not an American company.
Right.
And also then the taxpayers are, it's John Boehner's wet dream. The taxpayers get stuck with the bill.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's
exactly.
The latest atrocity is John Boehner wants you folks to pay for that.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
It's beautiful.
No, but I mean, that's the thing is just, I know people go, oh, defending Obama. It's like... The funny thing is everyone's become an expert in this environmentally, scientifically, legally, and most people don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're just like, why didn't he do that? He should have said the, what the...
I want Obama to get more angry so I can call him unpresidential.
Yeah.
Why didn't he send a NASA rocket down to the, you know what I mean?
Why doesn't he nuke
we'll
it?
We'll talk to Joe Rome is coming up in just a few minutes. He's a fancy environmental guy from the Center for American Progress.
And he was in the Clinton administration, so he has some gravitas.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And if this show has anything, it has that gravitas. Even though it's so yesterday.
<It's> so yesterday.
So yesterday.
Oh. No.
How many jobs did she outsource? How many?
I don't know. Oh, Lovey Howell, you are delightful.
That's right. She has not voted.
No.
I know.
And HP had to pay her to go away. She was so hated there.
Have you seen her on TV trying to spin her record?
So, beautiful.
No, I'm very proud of my record at HP. I mean, seriously, what was it, the Compaq merger?
You almost
a
said
complete disaster. Well, it's close enough.
Yeah.
But she's famous in the business world, her and Meg Whitman both. And I'm like, well, you know, will California actually elect these women? Because who ever heard of Californians electing celebrities with no political experience to the governor's office?
California, not known for its cogent political choices lately.
Well, hey, listen, never fear. Mama is here. I will be back. I will be back in studio actually 2 weeks from today, won't I?
Will you vote?
Yes. More importantly,
She'll
listen, California's been acting up. They've been acting out because Mama's been gone. I'm going to come make everything right.
We're like a colicky baby.
Exactly.
Well,
you are a colicky political baby spinning on your back.
In the Kmart parking lot.
Exactly. Stop it. What the hell are you thinking? I mean, that's the thing, right? Oh, it's the year of the outsider, meaning, you know, people that are unqualified in every way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the year of the outsider means corporate shills who aren't politicians.
Yeah.
Pretty much is what it means.
Yeah.
And Meg Whitman's great. I've met her before. Very nice lady.
Really?
I have met her.
In what circumstance have you met her? Have you dated?
I thought it was dating. She didn't. I had sort of a Hitchens Margaret Thatcher thing going with her for
really?
A while.
Really?
No, I gave her an award once, actually. I hosted the CNBC Wall Street Journal Executive Leadership Awards.
Wow.
They gave awards to billionaires.
I was up for that game.
They was giving awards to billionaires just for being themselves. And it was Maria from CNBC and I hosted this together, and that's where I met
the
Meg
Money
Whitman.
Honey.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I call her the stocks fox. But and Meg, very nice lady, CEO of eBay, and now she's trying to buy the governor's mansion, and the bidding starts now.
I mean, yeah, that is...
She spent $200,000 per vote she got in that primary.
I know.
Spectacular.
I know. I was saying Joan Rivers should be the only pundit they hire from now on. How'd you get so rich? Meg Whitman, let me in.
Meanwhile, Jerry Brown's
someone
flying
Someone just
her
nose in through her shoe closets, you know.
Yeah.
Jerry Brown's flying Southwest.
Does he still have that Plymouth? that he drove around in the 70s?
He needs to borrow Scott Brown's pickup truck. That's what needs to happen.
Well.
He needs to borrow Scott Brown's charisma. But I love Jerry Brown. I think he's going to beat her. If he can get people to focus on the issue. No, Chris, really.
I'm not so sure about that.
And I go on record as saying Barbara Boxer's going to win. I mean, this,
Yeah, oh, yeah, Boxer's going to win. I'm not so sure about Jerry Brown winning, though.
Well, I'd like to think Jerry Brown will win. I mean, if he can get it about the issues, you know, I think the voters are fed up. When people realize how into Goldman Sachs Meg Whitman was, when people realize that she's buying this office and that Jerry Brown's the real deal, I don't know. I think considering the current financial crisis, if Californians are dumb enough to elect this woman who's you know, another shill for big business, I really think that, I don't think they're that dumb, especially Carly, because Carly outsourced so many American jobs.
I know.
Gave
and said she'd do it again.
She
actually, I think she said that her mistake was she didn't do it sooner.
She calls it offshoring jobs.
Yeah, right-shoring. Yeah.
Right-shoring?
Yeah.
She's off-whoring jobs.
Although they I got to give it to them. They're both very slick campaigners. I haven't seen a single Jerry Brown ad, so I don't know how well he campaigns.
He can't afford any.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been standing by the freeway with a sign and a bag of oranges.
We'll work for votes. Jerry Brown can't even afford to see Joe Biden's plugs guy. I mean, it's just, you know, it's uphill all the way.
Well, if I think I heard this yesterday. If Jerry Brown is elected, he's going to be the oldest governor in the country. He's 72 right now.
Well, he's,
mm-hmm.
But he's younger than all of them combined in terms of ideology.
Well,
I just think he's so the real deal. I live in this magical fantasy world where Jerry Brown beat Bill Clinton in 92 and became president, and there was no NAFTA, and we have electric rails across the country, and that's my happy place.
All right, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's pretty lonesome here. Come visit sometime.
In the meantime, I will just be here with my computer, which is frozen in carbonite.
Yay!
It is, can I just tell you something? So I'm going back to LA now, because as you know, I got drummed out of Hollywood, and then I came here, and then Broadway didn't go for booze and dopes, and you know what I'm saying.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Exactly.
So you come crawling back to Broadway. Mm-hmm. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
So yesterday.
It is not. It is tomorrow. It is tomorrow's technology.
Well, that tells you how backwards Carly Fiorina is then.
I believe in so yesterday.
20 minutes after the hour. Oh, I have an HP story when I return on the
A magical HP story.
Mm-hmm. That's only because Carly's gone on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We're having a very ice storm weekend. I'm taking John Finkelstein and his wife to the country.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
I'm bringing the keys and the hat.
Oh, no. But remember what happened at the end of the ice storm?
Yeah, the annoying kid bought it. It was awesome.
He died. He got
electrocuted. Yeah, John Finkelstein was just in Florida, and he said his legs are sunburned, so I offered to put lotion on that for him.
Yes.
It puts lotion on its skin, or it gets the hose again.
Exactly.
If it wants the hose again, yeah, she's gonna oil me up good this weekend. And
yes,
it'll be on Craigslist and photos by tomorrow.
And my friend's got a barn in the country. We're all gonna go put on a show.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we have some show folk going. We do. We have some Broadway folk going. There's
what
a piano. It'll be like a Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland.
Judy Garland movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'll play Spalding Gray in the Mickey Rooney film.
Okay, fine. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to David in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, morning, Steph, and all of those moves. Hey, you know, one of the out here in California, we've been doing various types of elections for various years, and it's always been this technique out here. In fact, you can read about it all the way back into Nixon days when he was running for Congress, that the opposition would make sure that your candidate in your opposition would be the most stupid person. So, in other words,
what?
In other words, they just changed back in '48 when Nixon was running. the Democrats could vote in primaries for Republicans, and the opposite, right?
Right,
and
right. So they're called open primaries, and we just voted them back in here in California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Democrats would make sure that the Republicans got the stupidest guy win their primary, and so then the Democrat would be running against a moron, and so it would make the Democrat look smart.
Like that slows down Republicans?
Well, that's the whole thing.
In Alabama, you can run on that and win.
Yeah, and if you read George Seldes' book about fascism, you know, the whole idea that the corporate state wants an idiot in charge. You either elected a dictator or you elected an idiot. And the corporations prefer the idiots in charge because they give them, you know, passes and they take cheap bribes and all sorts of things.
They clear brush well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Chris, as you know, I've used Carly Fiorina's nomination as an opportunity to talk about how much my HP PhotoSmart printer sucks. And
so yesterday.
Exactly. No, it's like the fourth one that has died,
yes.
I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, radio exists, John, as you know, to whine about things. That's essentially what it is. And so since I've been whining.
And to get free stuff.
Yes. A fine person, now that Carly Fiorina is gone. Now they're competent at HP, and someone is sending me a new HP printer that is more appropriate for that. I don't have the right printer, and they've got me all fixed up.
I'd like a new one. My HP printer goes down so much, Larry Flint offered it a six-picture deal.
It's actually,
you don't get free stuff unless you're
Stephanie Miller.
You can go ahead and whine. You're not going to get nothing out of it.
Fine.
Actually, that came from a good friend of the show named Mark. He's been listening to the Stephanie Miller show since we were on in Boston the first time.
Yes. So it's a lot of incessant whining on my part. So. And they actually are sending me a new. And can I just take this opportunity to say, Chris, that the my mini Canon printer I've been using in its lieu, that's also dying now. So if there's anyone from Canon listening. Look at this, John. You can confirm this. This is my soundbite list.
Oh,
all I know
yes.
is in hour three, Representative Flangner is coming.
Representative Jackie Speer from the great state of California.
Of course, that's what it's. Can you read that? See, I can't read that.
I can't read that at all.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
That's all streaky.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve a new ink cartridge, too.
I think so.
Drop a name for them. Liberator pillow broke. I could use a new Liberator pillow.
We would like to thank Mark from HP for
thank you.
For,
thank you. Now that
right.
things are running smoothly at HP, now that Carly is gone, she's so yesterday.
We don't mean to mock
So
HP.
Yesterday.
We're very glad HP finally outsourced Carly.
Yes.
Exactly. Joe in Pennsylvania, my trucker friend. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Steph.
Hey, baby.
Yeah!
Yay! It's like getting a pony. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, you know, the problem we have is the corporate morons, as you guys have been talking about, which keeps us from really doing what happens if I'm driving a tanker full of oil and I smash it up and I get oil all over the countryside and I kill 11 people. The immediate response is a federal response as well as local responders, and I don't get the camera. And I don't get to fix the problem. I go to jail and probably get put in jail for several counts of, at the very least, vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah, and, no, I mean, that's true. Don't you love that, you know, we could both get a huge fine for littering, for throwing, like, one piece of paper out, and BP has said filed the entire Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. Or spilling gas at a BP gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you happen to spill gas at a BP gas station.
Oh, you're responsible for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Joe Rome, environmental expert from the Center for American Progress, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's lovely. And a darling figure. Supple, pouting breasts. Firm thighs.
Oh, Carly.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire, coming up next hour to update us on jobs in the economy. And Representative Jackie Speer. As it turns out, what it says on my list.
Yes.
I'm scared to hear Christian Weller today. I got to be honest. I'm just terrified.
Yeah, we just got some new retail numbers that aren't very good.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't really bode well when the only good news we got all week is that Heidi left Spencer. You know?
Like, all right. Listen, we have a fancy environmental guy, Joe Rome, from the Center for American Progress. Good morning, sir.
Howdy.
Well, howdy to you. You know, just when you think this cannot get worse, in a scientific way. So these new figures on the oil spill, Joe, are saying what? That it could be twice as bad as we think it, as we previously thought.
Yeah, well, the government and BP are just catching up to the independent estimates. I mean, on my blog, Climate Progress, I posted out independent expert estimates over a month ago that said we could be at, you know, 25,000 barrels a day, a million gallons a day. So, yeah, it's the spill is big, and, you know, I don't think one can believe pretty much anything BP says.
Yeah. What, you know, and that's the thing, Joe, is just, you know, for those of us, like, just lay people, I just keep seeing the same picture on TV. It does not look any better, does it? I mean, you can look at it and go, well, they're saying they're containing some of it, but, I mean, what is actually happening?
Yeah, well, it's going to be, I think, very frustrating for a while now. Look, they've put out so much oil that, you know, no response is going to stop oil from washing onshore and creating those images of the birds. I think that we clearly need to do a lot more, don't get me wrong. And I do think that President Obama should be, having the federal government do a lot more. But at the end
like
of the
what?
Day, there's you know, nobody really knows how to stop, you know, tens of millions of gallons of oil from washing onshore. That technology was never invented, and even after the Exxon Valdez, the oil companies simply never put any money into it, and Congress never required it.
Yeah. excuse me. Joe, what's the, you know, I know that we've heard, you know, they're sending the tanker, and, you know, sometimes it's hard to even keep up with it. You're going, okay, well, why didn't they do that earlier? You know, the tanker that apparently is now sucking some of this up?
Yes, we've got to get a bigger boat, I think.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
That's
this
the
was
best
not
one
a,
I've heard.
This
Joe
was
Rome.
Not a drilling accident.
Yeah, well, exactly. And like in Jaws, the BP deluded itself into thinking that this disaster could never happen, so they never pre-positioned anything. They've got all this Rube Goldberg solutions. Why didn't they build this months before the disaster? Because they thought it was inconceivable. And so, yeah, they are very much playing catch up, and it's incredibly frustrating.
I don't know if you saw the comedy group, the Upright Citizens Brigade. You know, I think Rachel Maddow played the sketch, but it's like, it is just funny and awful at the same time. But, you know, they spilled coffee on the table and they just made it worse.
Yeah.
Just throwing stuff. They don't know what, you know, it's just, the whole thing's a disaster by the end. I mean, but you know, we are at that point where there's such a fine line between funny and just so tragic. You know, yeah, I guess you have to laugh at some of it because it just is becoming, I mean, what have you heard about this, that the top kill made this worse and that it's leaking from underground now?
Yeah, look, I think the key point is that British Petroleum cut corners as they were overseeing the cementing of this well. And so I don't think the well was particularly stable. And injecting all that mud, which I think was a legitimate thing to try, looks like it, you know, cleared things out and may have destabilized the situation more. And then they cut the end of the pipe so they could put this cap on it. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think the key point is that we have to prevent these things from happening.
Well, yeah.
The other piece of this is, so we need to, you know, to rewrite the regulations that were created under Dick Cheney, where the industry self-certifies and self-regulates itself. And then we need to do this transition from the dirty, unsafe fuels of the 19th century to the clean, safe fuels of the 21st century that never run out. We need, you know, yesterday at least the Senate beat back an effort by Lisa Murkowski and the conservatives to stop the EPA from regulating carbon pollution.
Right.
You know, we need to get 60 votes for a bill this summer in the Senate that pushes clean energy and starts us on the path off of oil.
But Joe, what do you think? But that's the thing. It's like, you know, the headline this morning is Louisiana leaders want Gulf drilling to resume. You know, they're rushing to the defense of oil and gas and, you know, pleading with Washington to bring back offshore drilling. How do you answer that, that they're saying this is just going to make the economic disaster worse? You know, I mean, you almost think it's so counterintuitive that how do you even answer that?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you know, when you're the hardcore addicts, nothing so bad can happen that they don't want another fix. And I do feel for the residents of Louisiana who have tied their economic soul to this deadly industry. So, yeah, you've got Bobby Jindal demanding that Obama lift the moratorium on deep water drilling before we even know exactly why the disaster happened. I mean, I think that's just...
Well. Yeah, I love this line in the story today. They contend drilling is safe overall. Oh, sure, just turn on your television, you can see that. And that the moratorium is a knee-jerk reaction akin to grounding every airplane in America because of a single crash.
Yeah, that analogy is quite silly, of course, because planes crash all the time. This disaster, you know, is the first major oil spill in 21 years. And not only that, unlike a plane crash, you know, this thing is continuing to do damage. It's been doing damage ever since it happened. So, I think that the Gulf residents need some recompense. And if I were President Obama, I would put out sort of and the Center for American Progress proposed this, a sort of an economic development assistance program that just gets some money to the Gulf right now to help sustain us through this.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's just like you say, there's so many levels. You brought up the birds, and I think, you know, for those of us that are animal lovers, I mean, you can't help it. Some pictures just... You know, make you sick to your stomach. You're like, look what we've done to them. Like, look
not
at
we,
and they're talking about like, oh, they can be saved. I mean, Joe, is that possible? I mean, how many birds and sea life can they possibly fish out and towel off? I mean, is that really a significant solution?
Yeah, I think, I mean, look, Robert Reich proposed sort of creating a civilian conservation corps, and I think it would be a great idea to just get a lot of, let's say, unemployed young people out there to do this task. But, you know, oil and dispersants, they are nasty business, and I don't think most of the wildlife who get exposed to them are going to survive.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, the other thing is, you know, John was talking about the size of this spill. I mean, where do you put them then? Aren't they just going to get back in the oil? I mean, where are you going to go put all these, what do you call it, sea life and birds?
And now some are saying it's more humane to just kill the birds than try to clean them off.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the other thing is most of the wildlife, most of the sea life that's being affected, we don't even see because there are these vast plumes of oil and dispersants underwater that, you know, dolphins and other fish are just swimming through, and we don't see them until they wash up on shore, but many of them, of course, will just wash out to sea. So I think it's
that's true. It's only the birds happen to be what we can see, you know, trying to poke above the surface.
And those animals will be eaten by other fish.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, Joe, I don't know. It's I mean, really, it's what they're saying. It's only the relief wells that are even going to stop this, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they've been sucking up more oil, and I hope that they can get, you know, even more.
Chris just had a heart attack. I thought you said something different, too. My producer just fell on the bleep button.
No. You people,
sucking
you
up.
Know.
He said sucking up the oil. Yes.
You people have filthy minds over there.
Yes, pardon us.
It's a New York thing.
Yeah, it's... I don't want to say they're doing the... I mean, they're doing the best they can, which is, you know, now that we've... After a few weeks, it's pretty clear the best they can is kind of in the way of, the Simpsons or the Flintstones. I think that they will be collecting more and more of it, and they're bringing in these ships, and... the only, you know, really permanent solution is this so-called relief well, and that is going to be another several weeks.
And then how do you clean it up? And you know, it seems like, I mean, it literally is like, how do you do cleanup while it's still coming out? I mean, aren't you just, I mean, that's the problem, it seems like. And is there, how do you clean this up totally, ultimately?
Well, ideally, you do a bunch of things. You cordon it off with the booms, which, frankly, the country never built enough in advance because mm-hmm. no one thought this could happen. You have skimmers that skim off oil. You do burning when the wind isn't blowing on shore, and right. and then you have a coastal defense of a lot of people. It is a massive effort. You know, right now we have, I think, the biggest mobilization in U.S. history for any environmental cleanup. But, you know, I spoke to a 20-year Coast Guard veteran who said that any response is going to be ineffective in the face of a disaster that is so huge and so complex.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what I was wondering when you said earlier the administration should do more. What more should they be doing?
Well, what I would have liked to have seen, I mean, first of all, I think they could have done a better job explaining what the heck they were doing. I do think that. And I also think they could have done a better job explaining the origins of this disaster with the lax oversight under Bush and Cheney.
Amen.
And in fact, Newsweek just had an article, the Center for American Progress has been doing these articles explaining, you know, why this is Cheney's Katrina. And
telling you, there is, you know, there is something significant there when this is the one thing Dick Cheney has
not
opened his
he
pie hole about.
The bunker.
Because, there is just no way to get around that.
Yeah, no, usually he's first to jump up and defend things like torture, you know. Yeah. So apparently he can defend torture, but he has nothing to say about this spill. So, you know,
he's got a daughter to fight that battle for him.
All right. Joe Rome from the Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. Joe, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, sir. There you go.
And his website is climateprogress.org. It's the best climate change blog there is out there. So.
Indeed it is. 46 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World is next as we continue Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Seriously funny.
What?
Well, this is when we gossip this during the commercial breaks.
Yes, we catch up.
No, I can't share.
We do our girl talk.
Well, then don't drop that tease and run.
Can I say something vague?
Something vague?
Stephanie was asked out by an evil Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
he wanted to do to her what Bush did to the economy.
It made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. I can't say who. Okay, 51 minutes after the hour. I'll tell you later.
I'll privately tell you on Twitter.
Okay.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Jeff in Orange County. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just wanted to comment on the fact that BP's MO seems to have been, now that they're going to finally move another tanker into the area, when they knew the other one would fill up at some point, every single time they've had any opportunity to do anything, they've waited until a plan that they know is going to fail actually does fail before they even begin with the next contingency plan.
Yeah.
And one thing that the government could have done, got them to stop putting this dispersant, which it doesn't occur naturally. They got to stop this dispersant, which is going to be another big part of this environmental disaster, because the fish don't like that for certain, nor do the birds. And
don't you love all the amateur scientists like Haley Barbour?
Yeah.
Yeah. The tadpoles, they happen naturally every spring. They come up from the Gulf.
But the dispersant doesn't. And Haley ought to go show everybody he really truly believes that by taking a swim off of his own coast for a few minutes.
How about eating some shrimp caught off his coast?
When he comes out of the water.
In all fairness, if Haley Barbour went into the water, it might contaminate the slick.
Exactly. It might make things even worse. He might be even oilier than what's
at least he's like Pappy O'Dare. Remember Charles Durning in as the crooked governor in Brother Where Art Thou? Pappy O'Dare, that's the good old boy. I'm on the porch with Tom DeLay.
Haley Barbour just looks like he'd be self-basting.
I think so. I think he does baste himself.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, dear. Everybody's become like Rex Reed. Everyone's basically an acting critic of the president. He's not acting angry enough. Oh, now he's acting too angry. Fred Barnes on the Brit Bear.
But what the president needs to do is not show emotion and talk about kicking butt and all that stuff. He needs to show strong leadership and good crisis management. And we really haven't seen much of that.
What?
Yeah. Well, that's okay. They have him a copy of My Pet Goat to read to children, so he'll be on top of it.
Yes, that's how we remember. He's the president that didn't do a duty in his pants,
yeah,
at least. Okay, Judge Andrew Napolitano on the Neil Cavuto show.
The government does not have the authority, doesn't have the authority to order BP to pay the salaries of those who would have worked in the absence of the moratorium. Therefore, if the government wants BP to do that, it will have to sue BP to do it. It can't order BP to do it. If it does and it takes the money, that's theft. It would be like anybody stealing money saying, I think A owes B because of what C did. That's not the way the system works.
Thank God someone's standing up for poor BP.
I'm glad it's not just Rand Paul fighting a good fight anymore.
Yeah.
It's really great. Now Boehner as well.
Yep.
Yeah, Rand Paul has gone all a Britney fan for BP, hasn't? Because we're lucky. We're lucky that the BP even performs for us.
Hell
yeah,
no, Rand Paul, you can't!
Rand Paul thinks that Obama might be un-American for criticizing BP. Sane people fear Obama's not American for not criticizing them enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rand Paul, just because his head looks like something that was fished out of the slick, thinks that he's an authority on this.
Leave her alone! You're lucky she even performed for you, bastard!
Yes! You're lucky. We are lucky they even drill for us. Okay. Glenn Beck on the Fox News.
The Summer of Rage is about to begin.
Oh.
They're going to dress as Martin Luther King. They will hold hands and sing songs. They will accept the pose, but know exactly who they are. They're revolutionaries. They can say and dress and act however any way they want. You know who you are. You must become Martin Luther King and the people that marched for equal rights.
What?
What?
I don't.
Right.
Chris, what? I always need an explanation first of what the hell he's even talking about.
Progressives are going to make this a summer of rage.
Oh,
and they're going to pretend to be like Martin Luther King, whereas conservatives can actually be like Martin Luther King.
Yeah, well, Rand Paul said that he's just like Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
You remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Except for that whole civil rights law. Other than that, he's just like the guy.
Yeah. I know why he said, Chris. He said he's fighting for civil rights just like Martin Luther King, in that he's fighting for so that you can smoke in restaurants.
That's right.
Yes.
That's like a, yeah.
God bless him.
Because being black is just like smoking.
Exactly. Being black is a choice, just like smoking. You could go outside and be black. You don't have to bring that in there and get it on everybody else.
Get it all up in there.
You don't have to give everybody secondhand blackness.
Thank you.
Show enough.
All right.
And why doesn't that slick get a job, huh? I'm not going to pay for that slick to lie on the beach all summer.
All right. Mark Belling in for the honeymoon. Honeymooning. Rush Limbaugh.
This is going to be a double dip, and it's going to be a hard one. Politically, that will obviously be bad for President Obama. But we've got to live in this country. This deficit that we're looking at is frightening. Our unemployment is already too high. He's taken stimulus and blown it all. We've got scary times in front of us.
These are the guys who caused it. The Republican Party is like an arsonist hurling insults at the firemen.
Yeah.
Why don't you put it out better? I lit it. Why can't you put it out?
Oh, look, here's Chris Wallace making an oopsie. I think he's admitting that Fox News is far right.
Yeah.
I think it would be the final sort of back payment for Helen Thomas if this were to happen, because obviously she was very far to the left wing. No. And if her seat were to be taken by Fox News, it would just be kind of poetic justice. But
what are you suggesting about Fox News, then?
Pardon?
What are you suggesting about Fox News?
Well, I just realized that's probably not the way to go on this.
No,
but
in
any case, he's off to the left.
Yeah. Did you hear what he said?
Imus has to dig him out of that one. I thought, fair and balanced. Did I imply in some way we were less than fair and balanced? Huh?
Imus was the moral center of that argument.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, Fox News is very balanced. They spent 8 years hating a president, then spent 8 years defending a president. Now they're back to hating a president. Mm-hmm. That's balanced and fair.
All right. We will have Caribou Barbie. Caribou Barbie for dessert.
Oh, yeah, with her new tatas.
My goodness gracious, those are... Wow.
She just became more artificial.
Put those booms down in the Gulf. All right, we'll be back with that and more on the economy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. We are in the midst of Fridays with Fugelsang. We are knee-deep. And don't forget, Mama will be on The Edge Show on MSNBC tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoyer, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, let's have a little caribou Barbie for dessert. Wanna? Let's finish up our right-wing world, everybody. Here comes the helicopter.
He needs to call in those around him, kind of broaden his inner circle of confidants, because right now it sounds like the inner circle that he has are some Chicago thugs, and that's not doing our country much good. So calling in more people to advise him and then humbly accepting that advice and making the right decision.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, Governor.
She's
really?
Right in that he needs more progressive people around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably not what you meant by that, but
no.
Yeah.
Maybe one.
Yeah.
You can start with one.
Exactly. All right. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning.
All right. We have...
Wow. You're just like that guy running in South Carolina. One word answers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What is up with that guy?
Is it Elvin Green? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. God. He's a plant. He's obviously a plant. So what? To explain this to me. Who is he? He won the primary?
He won the Democratic primary. Someone gave him a $10,000 check. Yes. Someone being Republicans, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
They wanted him in the race because...
Because Jim DeMint wants to run unopposed.
Well, I would just... Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the
and
evil of open primaries.
Exactly, because Republicans can go in and mess with the Democrats
in
an open primary, and that really shouldn't be possible.
That was quite the compelling interview with Keith Olbermann. That was... You know what? You know what that reminds me of, Chris? One of my... Because now that I'm back here in New York, you remember when I hosted the morning show on Hot 97?
Uh-huh.
Everybody? Mm-hmm. Well, it's a men ticket's coming right up. The most disastrous interview in my radio career. Did I ever tell you this? What the heck was the name of that? Snap? Remember, it was one of those.
Snap. Yeah,
you know,
I Got the Power.
Thumpy dancy bands from the early 90s.
Yeah.
And so they actually booked the woman that was just the model in the video for the song as a guest on the show, and she spoke no English.
Oh God.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
Oh, great.
So I interviewed on the radio the video model for that song. That spoke no English and didn't really know anything about the song.
Well, who's they? Who's this they that booked it? Don't you have some say in who gets booked on your own show?
No.
Really?
It was some producer who was probably long ago fired. Because didn't check that. Yeah, anyway.
So you're more or less...
I didn't even get one word answers, not even in English, you know. Oh,
you're comparing the Democratic nominee to the spokesmodel for the Snap I Got the Power video.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Let's listen, kids. We have to find out what's going on in this economy. Oh, Christian Weller had to cancel last minute. Center for American Progress. Nice enough to give us Andrew... Oh, I hope I say this right.
Jacobovitz.
Jacobovitz. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. That was well pronounced. So we're starting off on a good foot. How's that?
Yay!
The fact that I didn't mangle that is really, may I say, unusual on this show.
She's hooked on phonetics.
Exactly. Andrew, so we got some retail numbers, first of all. New retail numbers that are not so good?
Yeah, they're down a little bit. And the underlying, actually, numbers are not as bad as sort of the top-line numbers. If you kind of break out the core... spending from some of the other pieces. I mean, the big decline, not surprisingly, is in building construction. And I don't think anybody is surprised by the fact that, construction material, nobody's really buying stuff for construction materials because we've got an overhang both in residential and in commercial construction. And so thinking just about the things that actually did increase, is basically the core stuff. So that's not a bad indicator of things basically stabilizing. And so it's a 1.2% decline. People had expected it to be up. I mean, we had seven consecutive months leading up until this month, of monthly gains in retail sales. So, I think that this data sort of within conjunction with some of the other data that we've seen, sort of indicates that things are slowing, but still not, we're not sort of in a double dip or anything like that. But the growth is moderating.
Right. Well, what, you know, I mean, it's interesting. You know, we have this conversation over and over about the economy, but, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day who's been out of work for a long time. And, you know, it is interesting that you talk to people like that. Nothing feels any better to them. She's like, oh, I hear all this, that the economy's better and this and that and jobs are up. And it's true. The hard numbers are good. But, you know, there is sort of a general feeling, certainly in a lot of quarters, that things aren't better yet. Right.
Yeah, and it's definitely the individual's experience. It's one thing to kind of talk about numbers in the abstract, but, I mean, to, you know, put this in a personal perspective, my brother-in-law had been out of work for a year plus, just got a job last week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but we're now at more people unemployed for longer than at any point since World War II. I mean, over half of all folks have been out of work and still actively looking, right? So these aren't even the folks who've been so discouraged with the prospect that they're no longer even counted in the job numbers on the unemployment side. Right. And I think that's really the scary thing. And if you think about the fact that one in five workers between the ages of 25 and 54 are unemployed at this point in time, mm-hmm. that's a huge problem.
Well, and I think interestingly, even, you know, people I know, they're getting by, that's a good word. They're, you know, most everybody I know is struggling to some extent financially.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even folks who have found jobs after a job loss are not getting the wages that they were getting before they
they're underemployed. Yeah.
So those are other numbers, right? So they're counted as having jobs or working part-time and things like that, but are not where they were. And so the folks who made life plans and then lost jobs through no fault of their own are really struggling to, as you say, get by. And that's really, I think, the biggest challenge that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the oil spill. I mean, you know, obviously new figures show that this could be twice as bad as we thought it was. I mean, you know, and unfortunately, now what we're hearing, I mean, there are a lot of people, Republicans, pushing for more drilling because they're saying that's going to hurt the economy even more. I mean, it's hard to even imagine what the total economic impact of all this is, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's one of the challenging things is certainly. I mean, the tourism numbers obviously are down. The fishing numbers are basically shot. But if you think about the other flip side is this is on some level a measurement question and a measurement challenge because GDP on some level is going to potentially look relatively the same or unchanged, you know, relative to what it would have been without the spill because, you know, we're spending money now on booms and on ships to skim up this stuff and things like that. So the money is being spent, but not necessarily in a productive or useful way from the broader perspective. But as the money goes out, those count towards. So it's a measurement question. And obviously one of the challenges with the way GDP gets calculated is that we count certain, you know, expenditures regardless of whether we sort of benefit from them or would have liked to have spent that money in that particular way. Mm-hmm. But certainly the coastal states around the Gulf, and certainly if the oil spill, you know, makes its way into the stream that then comes around and, you know, basically makes its way up the East Coast as well, you know, the impacts are going to be tremendous, particularly in places that are heavily, heavily dependent on aquaculture as well as on tourism. I mean, the beaches, this is not the time of year to have oil slicks on your beaches. And so everybody who is sort of gearing up for a potential return of consumer spending, you know, people are feeling a little bit better certainly this year than they did last year, even if things aren't great. We're saying, you know what, we might go up for a domestic vacation. It might be worth driving over to the coast and, you know, taking a long weekend. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. I mean, you'd be crazy to do it now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you say. Like, the economy is already bad, and then, you know, unfortunately, the people in that area have this on top of it, right?
Right. Right. And there's not, I mean, they're not getting the support they need to make up for these losses. I mean, BP is, you know, slowly giving, you know, the $5,000 that they're buying people out with or whatever.
Ken Salazar doesn't make up for the
magnitude of the disaster.
Well, and Ken Salazar acknowledged the potential damage to energy companies and their employees and promised, you know, one Louisiana senator the administration would demand that BP compensate businesses for their losses. But, you know, you're right, that remains to be seen because everything BP says turns out not to be true. I mean, they said we paid all the claims. Turns out they've paid half of them so far, right?
And is there a danger of them declaring bankruptcy now and trying to get out of paying anything?
I mean, they still have assets. I think that this is sort of fear-mongering, like, oh, well, don't go after them because they'll just declare bankruptcy if you go after them. I mean, they have tangible assets, and if somebody, you know, I think either the bankruptcy judge would look at their assets and go, you're not insolvent, pay your claims, or say, all right, you want to be insolvent, that's fine, we'll appoint an administrator to basically handle this stuff, let the government take them over,
right,
and actually manage these things.
That reminds me of saying, like, you know, don't chase the robber because he might run. Like, don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He'll run away if you chase him. So just let him. Yeah. It's right. I mean.
Yeah. And it's not going to shield them, I don't think, from paying legitimate claims. And there, you know, there's certainly enough that they own, right? I mean, and if just, I mean, I was listening, I forget to who, but, you know, I think it may have been Rachel Maddow who was saying, you know, they get like something like close to $1 billion a year in government contracts. You know, that money could be set aside, for paying some of these claims also, I think.
Wait,
so I think there are ways in which they, you know, they've got plenty of money. You know, we should all be as bankrupt as they are.
Yeah.
Right.
But what if the judge is a Bush appointee?
Yeah,
I think these types of things are probably subject to review as well. So
right.
I think.
Well, I mean, we were saying a lot of the judges in that area have ties to oil and gas.
Yeah, I've seen those reports also. I think that, you know, obviously there are dangers of a system that's sort of been so cronified. I don't know if that's a real word or not, but the crony capitalism component.
Yeah, I coined it.
Is certainly a concern. But I think that, you know, I don't think the administration is going to let these guys off the hook.
I think you did coin a new phrase, though. This judge has been cronyized.
I like that word,
VP's
though.
Protection.
Oh, there we go.
Cronified.
All right. Andrew Jakobovics. I said it right again.
There you go. Two for two.
From the Center for American Progress. Thanks so much for filling in last minute for us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Andrew. Andrew.
Andrew Jakobovics.
I got it. Okay. 17. It's best that I don't try again.
Yeah.
17, if I by accident pull something off, just leave it. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you know, some days Jeff Fugelsang says the most profound stuff off the air.
And what is that?
Leg hair and aloe don't mix. I don't know what.
I was kayaking in Florida the other day, and I got really bad sunburn on my legs, and I tried putting aloe on, and when you put aloe on, with my leg hair is so matted, I could pass for a rural Scotsman at this point from the aloe.
Yes, he just flashed me a little leg
profundity
during the break.
Yes.
Ah! What is me haggis?
Jeannie in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jeannie.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question. I know that all the offshore oil goes to the world market, so really we don't get it any cheaper. And the oil that we get is only 1% of the oil that we use in this country.
Right.
So a few guys get rich. What I'm wondering is, if anybody knows, what percent of the world's oil is offshore drilled?
What do you mean?
I'm sure somebody knows.
Somebody, I heard 2%, and I'm just wondering if you guys have that figure at the top of your head, but I guess not.
We have 2% of the world's oil is what I've
read.
Well, what percentage of global oil drilled is from water, from offshore?
Don't know
that's what she meant.
Did you see, Jim, that Senator Al Franken was the one that finally nailed, this thing about, oh, it's the environmentalist's fault that we have to drill offshore. And, you know, he got this, him to admit, it's because that's where the oil is. It's where 95% of the oil is. Of course, that's why. It's not because, Greenpeace made us.
Yeah, but for the comedy alone, because Sarah Palin's blaming environmentalists for the oil spill is like smart people being blamed for Sarah Palin. It doesn't work.
The president.
Obviously. Our immediate task is to deal with a crisis that is affecting millions of people down in the Gulf. We can't keep our eye off the importance of having an energy policy that meets the needs of the next generation.
Yeah. Well, where is that policy?
In China.
There's something John Winner wrote in the latest Rolling Stone about this whole thing. At some point, I'd like to maybe throw in a bit.
About what?
About, it's called Please, Mr. President, about him, his handling of the oil spill.
Oh. All right. Keith in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm sitting here in this radio desert where we get no progressive radio, so... We're listening to you sort of like Radio Free Europe.
Yeah. Don't tell anybody.
La Resistance.
Viva la Resistance.
Where are your papers?
Yeah.
Wrong state.
We have ways of making you talk. And one thing I really appreciate is Mark Belling, who you just played before, broadcasts out of Milwaukee. And so we're subjected to this guy day after day after day. I think he kind of proves Bill Maher's point, his new rule from a couple weeks ago, that Republican candidates should be forced to show their birth certificates to prove that they're not eight-year-olds. Case in point, you know, the fact that they don't really know how to put thoughts together, Belly on one hand says, you know, he's complaining about the stimulus leading to a double-dip recession, but... If we're not doing a stimulus, we're not going to have the jobs we need to get out of the recession. I mean, mm-hmm. they just don't figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know. It's Jim, what was I going to say? Jan Wenner? Am I saying that
Jan
right?
Wenner.
Jan Wenner.
From Rolling Stone.
Yeah. What's his point?
Well, I'll just read a little section of it here. The White House's complicity in this disaster began soon after Obama took office. Under Secretary Ken Salazar, the Interior Department has continued the shameful practices of the Bush era. In April 2009, the administration granted BP, a company with a notorious record of safety violations, a categorical exclusion from a rigorous environmental review of its drilling in the Gulf. Last March, Salazar went even further, unveiling an aggressive push for new drilling off America's coasts. The move, he boasted, marked the largest expanse of our nation's available offshore oil and gas supplies in three decades. The tableau was pure Bush, standing in front of an F-18, an American flag. President Obama told the country that we must leave behind the tired debates between business leaders and environmentalists and open up the oceans to more drilling. 3 weeks later, the disaster happened. So,
as somebody said, the bipartisanship, the birds are covered in it now.
But now he's slammed environmentalists, as much as hippies, and unions now for supporting hunters.
No, well, not the president. Well, I mean, some unnamed source at the White House, I guess,
someone
which
in
was
White
not
House,
wise, in my opinion.
He needs unions more than they need him.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jan Wenner has a great energy plan. He wants to harness all the energy from 22-year-old twinks.
And, yes.
That can power a nation. But he's right. You know, Obama needs to fight. If Obama wants to get in front of this, he fires Ken Salazar right now because he granted those and he links it to Bush. And then he just runs against Boehner and says, if these guys ever try to make the taxpayers pay for a penny of this cleanup, I will veto it immediately.
Yeah.
He needs to do it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, that's one thing I know. The taxpayers should not be on the hook for any of this. Ed Mackey. Has called the top executives of BP, ExxonMobil, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, and Shell to testify before his subcommittee next Tuesday. They say this is going to be his Waxman tobacco hearings, you know.
He also called them wicked retarded.
He did not, Jim Ward. All right, Representatives Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi.
Tepid trade, per se, was not discussed.
Tepid trade was never mentioned. That term was never mentioned. To say that we do not want to reduce our dependence on foreign oil and fossil fuels, which degrade our environment, is a debate that we welcome.
Well.
This is important. The thing you just mentioned about this current cleanup, though. Boehner agrees with the Chamber of Commerce that taxpayers should pay for the oil spill cleanup. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because he's
government?
Allergic to humans. Yes, GOP stands for Gullible Oil Peasants.
Boehner backed Tom Donahue, president of the Chamber of Commerce, and saying taxpayers should help pick up the tab. He said, I think the people responsible in the oil spill, BP and the federal government, should take full responsibility for what's happening.
Well, it happened on our watch. You know, we should pay for it. I mean, really. It's the only right thing to do. Only the Democratic Party will find a way to lose against these people. It's incredible.
How?
Like, you could... How any Democrat can lose against the GOP after Boehner said this
is
mind-boggling.
They're supposed to be anti-tax people. And now they're calling.
Now they're calling
let's bail out BP.
Yeah,
because they've done such a good job.
29.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Every woman now using Preparation H suppositories should switch to
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, come on now. I don't recommend that. Come on, do it. Do the Kevin Costner joke.
It's so
come
horrible.
On.
It's such a hack joke. Oh, Jim Ward will never speak to me again. What? No, Kevin Costner wants the government to use his incredible sucking machine to clean up the spill. It's actually Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Ladies and
gentlemen.
That's
it. It wasn't worth it. Now it's like the MX missile. I can't call it back. You know, it's out there.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. That was so yesterday. All right.
So yesterday.
So day before yesterday.
So yesterday.
34 minutes after the hour. And now here is some material about how New York and L.A. are different and how bad the airplane food is.
So yesterday. So yesterday. You know, why don't we let her host TRL instead of being senator?
All right, 34 minutes after the hour. We only have Congress people on that are today on our show. Like
no
Representative
yesterday.
Jackie Speier. Who is it? She's almost tomorrow. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, Stephanie.
How about our not-ready-for-primetime Senate candidate, Carly Fiorina?
Well, couldn't we have already predicted that after she got fired from the McCain campaign?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. For saying these two, they couldn't even run a company. What?
And she would know.
They were like, thank you, Carly. Do you still have the same pink slip from HP?
All right. Can we pay you to go away, too?
Well, you know, it's just great news for Barbara, who works so hard at doing the right thing.
And she is awesome.
She's tough as nails, and you know, she stands up to the oil. She stands up to anyone who tries to get in her way of doing what's right. So, you know, I think it's, you know, blessings on Barbara.
Listen, I have to ask you something. As a I'm on for primary night with Wolf Blitzer on CNN, and of course I get these, Stephanie, it's the year of the woman already. And I thought, isn't this ironic, Congresswoman? How bad does Carly Fiorina make women look? Just catty and bitchy. Oh, my God, her hair is awful. And I thought, oh, my God, is this how far we've come?
Well, I mean, I just don't want to even go there.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, the year of the woman is just a trite phrase that is, frankly, pretty meaningless because women represent only 17% of the Congress presently.
I'm sorry, the final hilarious thing is, so not only is she catty about Meg Whitman and Barbara Boxer, but then she only apologizes to Sean Hannity.
Well, you know, it's a classic example of what's wrong with, you know, the genome, I guess, because we're still fighting those same battles where women don't support women.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, but Meg Whitman, again, you know, here we go, not a, you know, male-female thing. You're like, can you really just buy? I mean, it's like we're auctioning off the governorship on eBay.
Well, you know, the thing that I keep coming back to is that, you know, it's as if you would say to me, you go run eBay. Because she doesn't have the skill set to be the governor of the state.
Right.
It is a system that is not command and control. It's three equal branches of government. And, you know, it's just a whole different skill set. And, you know, when she was talking about, you know, firing 40,000 state workers, I mean, you know who those 40,000 state workers would be? They would be correctional guards, because that's the biggest number of discretionary jobs out there. And, you know, it just shows such a lack of understanding of the finances of the state. And that's what's frightening.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, absolutely. You know, I'm sorry, but Carly Fiorina, I mean, it's just, you know, we're not being, I think, unfair or catty to say you've got to look at what her only record is, and her record is running a company into the ground, residing over a disastrous merger, getting fired, you know, outsourcing thousands and thousands of jobs. I mean,
And not voting until last year.
Yeah. I mean, so exactly. So I think it's fair to ask, isn't it, Congresswoman? Like, how is she qualified?
I think you could ask that about a lot of candidates that run, frankly. So, I mean, I'm not going to say she can't run for the office because she's been fired as a CEO of a company. But, I mean, the voters are really smart. And in California, I see it over and over again. So, in the end, they're going to evaluate these two candidates and look at who's really got the skill set to run the state or represent them in Congress. So,
Congresswoman, what did you think of the primaries in general? Because, boy, I would say in Kentucky and Nevada, I mean, this Tea Party is the gift that keeps on giving to the Democratic Party. It just keeps pushing the Republican Party farther and farther, I think, to the lunatic right.
Well, it does appear to, doesn't it? And but although we've had, you know, we've had some of our hiccups too. I mean, the South Carolina candidate for the U.S. Senate is a little frightening too.
What were we talking about?
Jimmy Alvin, who we were discussing.
Oh,
earlier.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Shill, baby, shill.
Oh, boy. So what, I mean, you know, because obviously the media gets a storyline, Congresswoman, and the Democrats are going to take a beating in 2010. And I don't know. I mean, it seems to me, look at the whole, like, oh, it's the anti-incumbent thing. And I think Rachel Maddow did a thing the other night just showing that it's been two. Most incumbents. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the storyline is yet. Do you?
No, I don't think we know the storyline. And the dynamics are so different in this election because of the insurgence of the Tea Party movement. And it's, you know, historically, the party that is in power loses in the midterm elections. That's just,
right. You
know, that's just reality. And we did gain, you know, over 50 seats in marginal districts that has historically have been Republican stronghold. So there's going to be some loss there, but I don't think it's going to be something that we can't handle. I mean, there's an interesting point that the speaker makes about the tipping point in Malcolm Gladwell's book, in which he says that, you know, when you get too big a majority, you get lots of little smaller groups, and you can't kind of, you know, be cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
When you have just, you know, just a majority or slightly above a majority, you're much more cohesive in your message and in your ability to move forward. So,
right.
You know, I think we'll be in fine shape.
Yeah, exactly. Well, by tipping point. Wow, good reference. That was so yesterday, though. I have to say, aren't we onto The Secret or something? Congresswoman, you know, I don't know what else to say about the spill in the Gulf. I mean, in terms of, you know, obviously these new figures show that it's twice as bad as we thought. I don't know, you know what I mean? Like I say, what new can be said about what exactly we should be doing differently about this disaster, how we make sure BP is indeed responsible. I mean, what are your latest thoughts on this?
You know, I must say that government failed too.
Yep.
The Mineral Management Service failed miserably. Mm-hmm. And we had laws on the books that would have limited BP's liability to $70 million. Can you imagine if they didn't say, no, we're not going to, you know, necessarily invoke that law? The taxpayers would be picking up this tab right now. So,
yeah.
You know, BP is at fault. I think historically, the industry has too much of a claim on Congress. It's, you know, it's almost like the story that keeps getting rewritten and rewritten, whether it's the Wall Street, titans or it's the oil industry titans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got to get back to basics. And this country is about people. It's about the people that live here, not the high-priced, you know, folks that come to Washington to pay off, the members of Congress. So I think that I'm most concerned about the fact that environmentally, we have no idea how devastating this is going to be because the oil is being dispersed so much farther underneath the surface of the water. It's going to, I think, annihilate some of the ocean life. It's going to just be, I think, so painful for the fisheries in that region for a long time to come.
Well, yeah, and as you say, I mean, there's so many levels to this. I was happy to see that your colleague Nick Rahal, the Democrat of West Virginia, is expanding the investigation into the MMS. You know, requesting the Interior Department hand over a lot of that that information because I think you're right. Clearly, everybody failed here, but you know, so there's so many levels of how do you stop it? How do you clean it up? How do you stop it from happening again? And meanwhile, you know, our Republican friend's response is we need to drill more and we need to drill immediately. I mean,
and we need to drill closer to shore. That's their
answer.
Yeah.
Somehow we force all of these oil companies to drill oil in deeper water. So now we should be drilling closer to the shore in shallower water so we can have more of the Santa Barbara spills, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Congresswoman, answer that because I think it was Senator Franken that finally got someone on record because this has been the right-wing talking point that, oh, the only reason we have to drill so deep is because the environment won't let us drill in close up and, you know, got an oil guy to admit that it's because that's where the oil is.
Exactly.
I mean, they'd be drilling there anyway. It's where 95% of the oil is.
Well, as if we don't know that now, having watched, you know, 40,000 barrels a day come out of that area.
Yeah.
So, There's always going to be spin, but we've got to bring it back to the facts. That's really our job.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what do you make of when, you know, you hear people, I mean, even Democrats, do we have Chris Play, Senator Mary Landrieu, a Democrat of Louisiana, of course, talking about drilling and what we need to do now?
There are some economic risk, some national security risk in terms of less oil being produced domestically.
I mean,
yeah,
how do you...
It's an old saw. Talk about yesterday, right?
Yeah.
We have got to get off of our dependence of oil, period. And we've got to do some really profound things. I was really impressed when Bill Gates and the president of GE came out yesterday and said, you know, we have got to move the science and technology research to a higher level. And they're suggesting, I think, $16 billion a year so that we can really address this energy crisis, because as much as we want to get to 80% reduction in CO2 by 2050, there's no way that's going to happen under any scenario right now. So we've got to do something fairly dramatic to get there. And
well, and Congresswoman, you raise a good point that if this doesn't show us why we need to get off, what else, you know, what else do we need? If these pictures on TV every day don't illustrate enough why we need to get off oil, right?
Yeah. You know, and there's just so many people who are entrenched in yesterday's ideas. And I remember when the auto manufacturers were testifying before our committee a year and a half ago, and I asked them, couldn't you speed up the manufacturing of these hybrid vehicles? And they said, no. Can't do it. And now look at them. You know, that's all they're doing. So,
as my friend John Fugelsang said here today, I'd rather have yesterday's hair than yesterday's ideas.
All right. Exactly.
Well, and this is all oil,
you know,
that's washing
up. I take that personally because I do have yesterday's hair.
You do not.
I have hair from 2 weeks ago.
I still have my 70s hair.
Wants a
we just can't get rid of it, can we? We can't let go of it.
No. It's comedy gold.
And this oil washing up on the beach is all oil that would be meant to turn into gasoline, so it would wind up in the air, where we breathe. I mean, it's the 20th century internal combustion engine controlling us now.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Congresswoman Jackie Speier of the great state of California, thanks so much for taking time for us, as always.
My pleasure.
All right, there she goes.
How am I going to run my Model T without gasoline? Tell me that.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on The Spill as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
All the world is waiting for you and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your right, and they all dress white and blue.
What the hell?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Wow, talk about so yesterday.
What is that?
It's the Wonder Woman theme.
You've never heard the Wonder Woman theme?
No, I never watched it.
Jim, you've never heard the Wonder Woman theme?
No. I will cuff you with one of my giant bracelets.
In your satin tights, fighting for our rights.
Do y'all know who played Wonder Woman's kid sister?
Yes, it was, from Terms of Endearment,
Shirley MacLaine. Yeah. Yes, Shirley MacLaine played.
No, Deborah Winger.
Deborah Winger did indeed play.
Thank you for that fun fact.
Opposite Lyle Wagner.
Yes.
Bunny in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Bunny.
Hello. I was wondering, between Crazy Jim DeMint, Crystal Fascist Hypocrite Sanford, Hadley the T-Slagger, these tricks with the Green nomination. The next time South Carolina wants to succeed, can we just let them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Can we just be like that?
They were the first to secede before. Why can't they be the first to secede again?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The only thing South Carolina needs to secede from is high fructose corn syrup. Have you been there? It's horrible.
There are some good people in South Carolina.
There's some great people there.
I had to fly out of Greenville, South Carolina, when I crossed the border from North Carolina to South Carolina. I was like, gulp.
I'm just talking about the public health risk. That's all I'm talking about. We want them to live a long time.
Andy in Wisconsin. Hello, Andy.
Hi there. Two quick questions. Is BP dragging their feet on the cleanup so they can say that the Gulf is beyond saving? And number two, what happens to the floor of the Gulf if all the oil empties out? Will all the pressure make it cave in?
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You're like, is there yet another layer of disaster here? I don't know.
That's the most optimistic thing I've heard all week.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe we can get liquid hot magma coming up
to fill in the Gulf of Mexico. Great.
Maybe Atlantis will rise again in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, my God.
Is Godzilla next? Is that what happens?
Could you know?
We have in his bed, essentially, so yeah. I don't know what
happens. I'm actually going to look outside and see if frogs are falling from the sky.
Well, yeah. they use nuclear bombs to try to collapse the well. They might very well have Godzilla.
Guess what? BP has hired yet another former Bush official to help repair their image. Not the Gulf. You thought I was going to say the Gulf. No,
of course not.
No, their image.
Well, that's good. Their image... Mm-hmm. Needs some bolstering a little bit.
Former President Bush Chief of Staff Josh Bolton has been added to the former Dick Cheney.
Yes,
person.
Of course, the plausible deniability circle.
Yes, he became famous during the Bush administration when the House Judiciary voted to hold he and Harriet Myers in contempt after they refused to cooperate in an investigation into the administration's firing of U.S. attorneys. He was also the one that had the photographic collection of George Bush's hands on his office wall.
That's right.
Maybe he'll auction those off. Sort of a raffle for BP. Bake sale.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is creepy. That was a boot. all right.
How can the Democrats lose against these guys?
Well, so, for one thing, optical scanners. But
here's the thing I don't understand about, you know, the liability in holding BP, Halliburton, and Transocean. Did you hear this? They all skipped the Mississippi hearings on the oil disaster. I guess they had a thing with a guy someplace.
Yeah, they had something important to do.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure it was
it's Oprah's on.
Yeah, they last month they had a select committee to investigate the Gulf oil disaster, and BP wrote a letter saying they had a note from their mom, so they didn't have to go, and then also Transocean and Halliburton apparently had better things to do.
They didn't get a hall pass, apparently.
Yeah, guess not. And the hall monitor didn't catch them, and so, All right. Senator Mitch McChinless on the...
Most of my members, if not all of them, and a substantial number of Democrats in the United States Senate will not be interested in is seizing on the oil spill in the Gulf and using that as a rationale, if you will, for passing a national energy tax.
Huh? Yeah, you'd hate to use that as any evidence to actually do anything to prevent that in the future.
All I ask is that you save the sea turtles. You just get some turtles
the
out
sea
there.
Turtles.
Exactly, Jim. You'd think that he would at least be concerned with his brethren.
Mm.
Nah, they're not tax the people.
Well, so the sea turtles are all hippies. We don't like them.
So you're a land tortoise?
We need to tax people to having the gas prices go up for no explicable reason over this whole thing. We need taxpayers to pay for bailout. Don't tax them. Just make them pay for it.
I'm going to guess, Jim, that once again we're moving too fast for your...
Everything is going way too fast. We need
on
to just slow down and have a hunk of lettuce.
Senator Mitch McChinless again.
I don't think the American people are interested in having a national energy tax, particularly one at this juncture recommended by BP.
Mm. Be very, very quiet. I'm obstructing presidents.
The boner yesterday, John.
This is Congress at its best. You know, why don't we get the oil stopped? All right, figure out what the hell went wrong, and then have the hearing and get the damn law fixed.
Yeah, everyone just go and stop it and fix it. And fix me a Rob Roy while you're at it.
It should be at the top of our list, I guess.
Hell no, you can't!
Don't be nosing around about what happened.
It's not your business.
Find out what happened. We know what happened. Obama did it himself. Road out there. All I'm orange with rage.
Eric in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
Hi. You guys just missed it. On my way before I went to work to help evacuate my bowels, I turned on Fox News, and Geraldo Rivera was defending Barack Obama. He was stating that they were picking on Obama as far as the oil leak and everything was going on, and Geraldo finally stepped in to say that it wasn't his fault, and that if anything should be done, that Bobby Jindal should step up to the plate and start doing things for his state.
Oh, wow. Geraldo's going to be in the dirt hole in Fox News putting the lotion on its arms later.
Yeah.
Be the silence of the Geraldo.
Roger Ailes will make him change the toner in the copy machine.
Yeah. By the way, FYI, we don't really need to hear about your bowel habits before you
Yeah, thank you.
We don't need
That's more imagery than we need, especially if you're going to follow it with Geraldo. Mm-hmm. Not cool, bro.
Although, Steph, you keep bringing up your dog's bowel habits.
Well, that's different.
Okay.
A highly entertaining dog poo story for which I've become famous. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
So yesterday.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. We are joined by John Fugelsang all 3 hours here in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Mama on the Ed Show on MSNBC tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern.
3 p.m. Pacific.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And John Fugelsang is going to be filling in for you when you're taking a day off in a couple of weeks, correct?
Yes,
in spite of popular demand, I'm filling in for you.
Yeah.
Yes, Mama's going to give a big union speech in D.C.
Hooray!
Going to carry the board about June 22nd. Who cares? June 22nd.
Those unions.
In a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Oof. I said that not a wise move by some unnamed source at the White House.
So the
you
House,
don't want to tug on the union's cape.
White House Democrats are mad at Arkansas Union Democrats for trying to elect an actual Democrat.
Right.
That's what's going on? Okay.
I know. All right. So, by the by, did you see this woman? That was the breaking news. That woman, a Philadelphia woman, was convicted of attempted prostitution for offering to trade sex for World Series tickets.
No.
Doesn't this happen every year?
I think so.
What? I mean, I once for Stones tickets, yes.
But
wait,
at least
you,
it
wasn't baseball?
You worked for radio stations. You didn't have to give it up for Stones tickets. You could have gotten them from...
Now you tell me.
There's no humping in baseball.
It could have been worse, folks.
What
didn't
kind
offer
of woman wants to see baseball?
She didn't offer sex for Stanley Cup tickets. It could be a lot worse.
That's true.
Like, you made the point, didn't you, about the Tiger Woods, the worst part of that whole thing, after being forced to watch that
much
golf?
Oh, yeah, you don't cheat on a woman after making her sit through that many hours of golf. That just ain't right.
Golf. All right, in other slut stack news, this out of Detroit, breaking news, a court victory for a middle school math teacher that was fired for simulating a sex act on a mannequin.
What?
Who hasn't done that?
No. In front of
how
kids?
Are the kids going to learn?
In front of kids, or was this like...
No.
Oh, okay. On YouTube or something.
I'll get to the details.
All right.
Simulated sex with mannequin haunts teacher is the headline. A photograph surfaced on the interweb of her simulating a sex act with a male mannequin during a bachelorette party.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, it's great.
It wasn't a female mannequin. Come on.
An actual male, and then she'd be in...
By the way, if a man offered sex... For World Series tickets, there's no term for slut. He's just a really big fan.
Yeah.
Only a woman can be a slut for World Series tickets.
But would you have sex with a male mannequin for World Series tickets? I think that's the important question.
What? Huh? She's a slut! Look at her slut!
You know what, Chris? This story could be me in just, you know...
Maybe I sent it to you as a cautionary tale.
Well, you often do, because, as you know, I am an elderly shut-in...
Yeah.
That drinks box wine and French kisses my dogs every night. And I have mentioned this before, that I probably will be one of those people that will be dead and eaten by my dogs for several weeks before anybody will even...
You're like a cat.
You'll just call John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks to fill in for me, and no one will even come looking for me.
Right.
No. And there'll be no smell, because the dogs will consume you. You're like a cat lady without cats, aren't you?
Exactly. This out of West Hartford, Connecticut. With arm trapped in furnace for days.
Oh, this story's horrible.
And this is going to be me, because there's something wrong with my furnace that I have to go check on in L.A. So please remember to come check on me.
You need to get around to L.A.?
He was, pardon me?
You need a furnace in L.A.?
Sure. Yes.
All right.
L.A. is a furnace.
He was trapped for 3 days.
Oh, it's so horrible, that story. That poor man.
He's okay.
Is he okay?
He's okay. He lost his arm.
Oh. Well, yeah. Well,
other than that, he's fine.
But he's...
he's not going to play accordion anymore, but...
Well, yeah, I can't give him two thumbs up.
Here we go making jokes. About
what?
What?
No, she opened the door. We had to walk through it.
Chris, you probably know. Like, as long as I had a stick to be able to hit my sound effects, I'd be okay.
That's right.
You probably know who I'm talking about. There was a DJ in Chicago that was so large, he couldn't reach the buttons on so he had a stick.
Yes,
that
he did.
Used to die.
Stephen Hawking has a flatulence button on his panel, I believe.
You know, I am so tired, and I don't know. I'm running on fumes.
Well, unfortunately, save up the energy for your key party this weekend.
Stephen Hawking sound
right.
effects box sounds like fart.
All right. I am taking John Fugelsang and his wife. We're having and some other people up to country house. Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
Uh huh. That's us, baby. I'm growing a mustache just for
I
the weekend.
I have some stories on Monday, I think.
That's right.
Boy.
It is. It is very Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland. My friend has a barn, literally, in the country, and there's a piano. And some of the people are going with us are Broadway folk. So literally, my friend has a barn. We're putting on a show.
I've got the roofies. I've got the poppers.
Do you have the Quaaludes?
Yes, I've got the Quaaludes. Let's put on a show.
Nobody has those anymore.
Speaking of the shows and the Broadway and the booze and the dope, Ricky Martin lands a Vita role. He's playing Che. He's playing Che Guevara. He's not playing a Vita.
Wow. Well, that's even funnier that he's playing Che. Because he has to have a beard, doesn't he?
Hey!
Don't keep your distance.
All right. Did you see the Britney Spears excuse? You know her. What's the hell's the name of that? I need one of those. A scram bracelet.
Britney Spears?
Anklet.
You're confusing
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes, you're confusing your train wrecks.
A scram anklet is what it's called, right?
A scranklet.
That's
it's like a scrunchie for your ankle.
That's what makes her. That's it. Yeah. Reports to the police if she's been drinking alcohol, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
So her mother Dina said that somebody spilled a drink on her leg.
That happens all the time. She accidentally stepped in a bucket of gin.
Who left this bucket of gin here?
I stepped in a bucket of gin again.
Michael Phelps had that bong spill on his leg. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to need one of those eventually. I guess it goes. It goes off when it's. When it's in the presence of alcohol.
Well,
right?
No. When you drink alcohol, you emit. You know. Small amount of alcohol through your pores, and it
can't she wear socks? Yeah. Can't she wear socks?
Her mother told Page Six she was at the MTV Awards and someone spilled a drink on her leg, which must have set off.
Yes.
You know, if you have a scram bracelet, you should probably stay away from occasions where
someone might spill a drink on your bracelet.
In your mouth.
Yeah. Stay home.
IRT Tripton fell on it.
This somehow reminds me of the, you know, you remember the Republican, the young Republican, Chris, in the...
Yes, in Indiana.
Who accidentally fell on...
Well, no, he woke up and his...
Friends.
Was in his mouth.
Hmm.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
You know
well,
how
he
that
might
happens.
Have fallen on it. It was dark. It was at night. He maybe was on his way to the bathroom, tripped, fell. Maybe there was a banana peel, something.
Yeah. You know how it happens.
It was just hazing.
Yeah. Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, Donald Trump wants her for Celebrity Apprentice.
She's huge.
That would be huge.
She's got a better rack than my daughter. Huge.
But she can't leave L.A. She can't leave L.A., so we'll have to wait for her TV appearances when she's doing cosmetics infomercials.
Caroline in Akron, Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Stephanie. I wanted to tell you the other night when you were on Larry King, I think, earlier in the week.
Ah.
I think it was. You look so good. You are so hot looking, I'm telling
you. Oh,
doesn't she?
Thank you. It was the middle of the night.
I'm just saying you look really, really good.
Oh, that was very sweet of you because I thought, what a loser. I'm here at 1 o'clock in the morning with Wolf Blitzer. That's my life.
You
and 20 million other broads.
What's that?
Damn good for 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you should see her at 5 a.m.
John Fugelsang.
When she staggers out.
Don't be ungallant.
But I did want to say, I was telling Becky that that Andrew Green, the interview with Keith Olbermann last night, was so painful to watch.
Right.
The first thing he was doing was it seemed like he was answering questions that weren't even being asked.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then it took him, 10 minutes to answer every question because somebody was telling him.
His lawyer was feeding him lines.
Yeah.
It's just so scary to think that, I mean, we've had scandals before and people have pulled some really icky things, but to think that somebody planted him, paid him to run, that's just scary.
Mm-hmm. I know. And let me tell you, as a professional interviewer, we so enjoy the one-word answers. That's really what you hope for, is that level of conciseness.
It was just so painful to watch. I felt bad for the guy.
I know. Because that's why I like having John Fugles thing on one-word answers. Am I right, John? All right.
But you know what? That nomination, here's the real mystery about it, is how he managed to clinch the nomination when he was running against a judge with a very good record who did a lot of publicity. Alvin Green did no publicity at all. He did no campaigning.
Yeah.
He's unemployed. He has no money. They don't know where he said he got the 10 grand to file to run for Senate because he saved it up his last 2 years in the service.
Right.
He's been out of work for a year but didn't need that 10 grand the entire time.
No, he's saving it.
Yeah, this thing
for a rainy election day.
This thing stinks like Barney Frank's hamper, and it's something's really not right in Denmark,
well,
and I hope they really investigate. Jim DeMint, by the way, is laughing at Democrats, saying that they're trying to make an excuse now because they can't even control who runs their own party. It's true, but still, there's no way this guy got it.
That's open
primaries. Jim, so go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'd say, well, now we're going to be heading for the same thing here with open primaries, which weirdly passed.
Schwarzenegger was for that, right? We need these kinds of things.
But California has it. I voted in the California primary, and I'm not a Democrat, but I went and I voted in the presidential primary.
Independents, people who are not affiliated with the party can vote in any party.
Right.
However, if you're a registered Republican, it used to be you could only vote in the Republican primary and vice versa. It's not going to be that way anymore.
Right. And now you can get people like that guy. Vote for that guy who will let Jim DeMint walk right into the...
Yeah, I know. You know, Jim, that is when it really did strike me what a giant loser I am, is that I think I'm the only one they knew that would like to just be show up at 1 o'clock in the morning with Wolf Blitzer.
Oh, stop. Mm-hmm. Oh, stop. You look great.
Stephanie, the year of the woman. What? Your thoughts?
We'll have to leave it there.
Don't tell Wolf Blitzer the Situation Room now refers to a place where Guidos meet to compare abs.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Yeah.
Is it time for hip-hop news?
Sup, it is.
In other hip-hop news.
In other hip-hop news.
50 Cent says that Diddy's music sucks now being retroactive to 1997.
It's so yesterday. He said, oh, it's so yesterday. 23 minutes after the hour.
So yesterday.
1-800 Steph 12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rob in San Francisco on Mr. Green, the South Carolina.
Alvin
Democratic.
Green, yes.
Alvin Green. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, how are you?
Good.
Good, yes.
Go ahead.
I was just wanting to say that if you guys don't support Mr. Green, then I think you're racist.
Why is that?
You don't think that.
Don't you think it's racist that you think that?
Well, that's what people say when someone says something negative against Obama.
Who says that?
Who
said that?
We think I think George Bush was a moron. Does that make me racist against white people?
It might.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That was the argument that
this guy's
got to
be a joke.
Name me one person who said that opposing Obama's racist, please.
I've heard it on the media.
Names.
One person. Just one person, please.
One name.
Well, I would have to go do research. I don't have a
lot. Oh, yes.
Okay, well, you probably should have done the research before you called the show.
How dare you show up to my show without research? That's my job.
Yeah. But don't worry, you're uninformed enough to actually win in South Carolina.
Oh, I heard you were going to be opening a Piggly Wiggly later, too, because you're such a good comedian.
Not to Kenny Rogers Roasters, sir, actually, but I'll see you at the snack bar.
Wow.
Well,
we have a little man fight.
We have hecklers.
That, huh?
You
sweetie,
suck.
There's no way you can make me be in hate as much as you. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, you suck.
You suck. You work at Piggly Wiggly. Okay, Jeff. And
I think making a Piggly Wiggly joke means he hates Caucasians.
That's right. He hates the
Jeff
South.
Jeff in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, has anybody considered that there may be some kind of big scandal coming out with Jim DeMint, and that's why they needed to have a cupcake running against him?
Like what?
There's no reason that this if this guy was planted, and it looks pretty obvious that he is, there's no reason they need to do this because Jim DeMint was a slam dunk to be reelected here, despite
the
fact he's done absolutely nothing for 6 years other than run his mouth.
He's going to run for president.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This may be Jim DeMint's Waterloo. I don't know.
Yes, maybe he's going to run into that popular illness among Republicans, in mouth disease.
Yes.
No, that's Mr. Kirk.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Buddy was nice enough to send us the just to refresh our memories,
sure.
The young Republican that had the in mouth disease.
And Republicans seem to be very susceptible to that. They have no natural resistance.
Yes. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, they're not inoculated.
Would you, let's see, hang on, let me,
here we go.
Here it was. The chairman of the Clark, some stories you can't really get enough of. The chairman of the Clark County Republican Party, who last month was elected president of the Young Republican National Federation, has resigned both posts, apparently in the wake of a criminal investigation. Blah, 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 blah. Sheriff's Department Friday began investigating Murphy for alleged criminal deviant conduct, potentially a Class B felony, after speaking with a 22-year-old man who claimed that on July 31st... Pardon me?
B for boy?
No, just... No.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a different...
Yeah.
No. It stands for a different B word.
Yeah.
So, B. Job. All right. It's a Class B.
Right.
After speaking with a 22-year-old man who claimed that on July 31st, Murphy performed an unwanted sex act on him while the man slept.
Yes.
Then how does he know?
He might have wanted
it
in his sleep.
It woke him up.
Oh, I see. Well, that's the point, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a certain point of the act where you can't sleep anymore.
I'm saying, I've suggested maybe that should be a Democrat's slogan. Democrats, at least we have sex with people that are conscious.
As soon as you finish down there, I'm calling the cops.
Just finish up, and then I'm... Hang on.
Then you'll get it. You're going to get it.
He probably pretended he was asleep. And
yeah.
Okay, now I'm... Wait a minute.
Hey!
Shh, I want to go to prison. I want to go to prison.
Let's see. Oh, Murphy, blah, blah, blah. Wilder, the Murphy contends the sex act was consensual.
Oh,
dear.
All right.
There we go. Yeah.
Those were that was the details of that.
When a homophobic gay Republican story loses Stephanie Miller's interest.
Yeah, and then it's time to bail.
Well, you know what it is? We frequently get distracted by another shiny Republican object. In this case, it was Gary Stoing. Who was? That story was about the same time, wasn't
around
it?
Around the same
Illinois?
Time? Yeah, maybe a little bit after.
Yeah, the Republican guy whose wife caught him in the kids' playroom with a couple of hookers and he hit him with a toy guitar.
Probably,
that's illegal now.
Yeah, from rock, the video game Rock Band or something like that.
Yeah.
One of those plastic
Montana
ones.
Guitar, something. Okay. You know, that guy that just called and heckled you about your comedy reminded me when I was starting stand-up in my ute back in Buffalo at the Yuck Yucks with my best friend Paul. He got the best heckle I ever heard. He had just gotten on the stage. He hadn't even said anything yet. And a guy yelled, "Shave your neck!"
Oh. What was Paul's response to that? Did he just curl up into a ball and start weeping?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Please.
He hadn't even had an opportunity to not be funny yet.
Right-wing serfs, please don't call me up and heckle, because I've never been heckled before in my life. I have no idea how to handle you. I'm so ill-prepared for your ignorant insults in lieu of actual policy debates. So
whatever
please,
you do.
Go on defending the people who outsourced your jobs, but don't pick on me. I'm not ready for it. Come the Kenny Rogers Roasters, punk.
29 minutes after the hour. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a drag, a well-known drag.
You turn the sound down on her and say rude things.
That's the bird on the radio that gets things wrong.
That's my favorite scene in that movie.
Yeah.
It is the...
Short in the shirt, Edward.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I'm sorry, I was reading further into the old news story about the Republican with the young Republican with the in-mouth disease.
Yeah.
That's my favorite line there. Well, this when he before he made the decision to resign, Chris, it says, my family sat down with me Saturday evening to look at things from every angle.
Oh.
Well, son, you got caught with a in your mouth, and we're Republicans.
And you've got to be a senator first.
I think you need to.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Barbara in Washington State. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Steph. You're one of my heroes.
Thank
I
you.
I wanted to talk to you about
you,
one of
thank
your...
you for your low bar. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to you about your favorite senator, McKinless.
Mitch McKinless, yes.
Yeah, that guy. You know, he has played the puppet or the marionette for years, as we all know, and now he looks like one. And I'm surprised you guys haven't caught on to that yet.
I mean, but marionette for who?
For everybody. Big corp.
Madam, are you suggesting the Republican Party leadership is bought and paid for? Is that what you're implying?
Oh, gosh, no. Okay. I wouldn't do that.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
They work for the people.
Yeah, exactly.
The upper 1% of people.
I see. Yeah, exactly. All right. Buddy in Columbus on the oil spill. Hello, Buddy. Good morning.
Hey, Mama. Hey, one thing real quick first is don't call up and insult professional comedians. You guys live for that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
When the guy was like, well, I'll see you at the Piggly Wiggly. It's like, how quick before John slams them?
Yeah. Yes.
So aren't you guys kind of used to working with hecklers?
Yeah, by the way, and that's something that some poor beleaguered right-winger learned on Face the Grayson this week, because he will crush you like a bug.
That's right.
Yeah, that was great.
Hey, Mama, on this oil spill, and not too depressing about it is, you see these people out there cleaning up the things on the beaches.
Right.
But it's just not today. You can have the same slug of oil coming in tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, 40 or 50 days, even if they shut off this oil now.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, you know, it's interesting when you see the aerial shots, right, buddy? It's just, you go, oh, my God. And there's a couple of people with bags on the beach. You're just this is, I know.
I mean, it's a great make-work project for a lot of people. But as a background in ecology, this is just so sad.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Potentially extinction level event. I mean, it could. I mean, if there's as much oil down there as they think there is, and there may even be more, this could go on for years or decades, and you know, we'll be dead. Once the oceans are dead, we're dead.
Yeah. By the way, Senator John Barrasso called the moratorium on drilling a second assault on the Gulf.
Yeah. It's almost as bad. It's worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And, that would be the crime is to stop drilling at this point.
And well, the thing is. Someone from the Louisiana Department of Wildlife said that this could last 300 years. Let me play this for you.
Mm-hmm. LSU tells us that the transfer rate for neutrally buoyant particles at 5,000 feet to the surface is potentially up to 300 years. That is a frightening scenario. It'll be long after all of us are gone that people will be studying this event.
Oh, my God.
Larry King will still be on the air.
Yeah. I think we should get out of Iraq and Afghanistan now, stop spending money on that, and just concentrate on trying to save the planet.
Yeah. When you say extinction-level event, Jim, I have plans to make, so what do you mean, all of us, or what?
Everybody.
All right.
Oh, really?
The oceans are responsible for a lot of the oxygen.
They're the lungs of the planet, if you will.
Well, forests and the ocean. So without them, we're dead, basically.
He's always he's the upside down frown on the show.
Yeah, sounds like some Al Gore propaganda, if you ask me.
All right, Billy Nungesser, the Plaquemines Parish president.
I still don't know who's in charge. Is it BP? Is it the Coast Guard? When I get mad enough in a meeting, the Coast Guard in our office stands up and says I can make that happen. When I throw a BP official out of my office, he comes back the next day and approves something. I have spent more time fighting the officials of BP and the Coast Guard than fighting the oil.
I really like that guy. I really, really like him.
Yeah, somebody said it yesterday on the show, right? Thad?
Yeah.
Thad! are that he has like Stockholm syndrome. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the thing, because I mean, he was originally going, oh yeah, I know, I trust BP, and you know, when they tell me, it's like, what?
And this is the part that doesn't make sense. Obama's not going to really be judged by history by the spill. It's not his fault. He's going to be judged by how he handles BP.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I really am looking forward to him starting to handle them.
I love Mitt Romney. He said Obama is looking for ways to find who to blame for the fact that the oil is, you know, is spewing in the Gulf.
Well, he's blamed BP.
Yes, BP is to blame.
And has blamed BP since the beginning.
But
I mean, that's the thing. There's a difference between Bush, who used to blame everybody else, and it was obviously his fault, with Obama, who's blaming the correct people. Now it's just a question of what you do and how you do it and when you do it.
Yes, friends, but here's the thing. You've got John Boehner coming out and saying that the government, meaning us, is going to have to pay for this cleanup. Now, why isn't Obama in front of cameras right away saying, I will veto any bill like that? How dare he?
Yeah.
Why isn't he coming out against that? This is what you run against. This is a gift from the GOP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw yesterday when I saw it, I was like, Balsack says what? I'm not paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the Republican Party, folks. Tell your Republican friends and coworkers they want to privatize profits and socialize costs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mayor David, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Comerdell, he's in Louisiana.
I gave him a credit card before. I fed some families. I make $513 a week as mayor. I got my own family to raise. And I just talked to my secretary. And I can promise you, I will not let no one starve on my island.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Can I read Charlene in Los Angeles.
He's feeding his own constituents with his own credit card. Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, unbelievable. Good morning.
Hey, Charlene.
On this Alvin Green situation, you know, we all get all these stupid mailers when it's time to vote, right?
Yeah.
Well, there couldn't have been one single mailer from anybody coming to say, vote for Green, vote for Green. There was a guy running against him who was a four-term House member in South Carolina. He should have been known by somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, they voted for him by accident because of alphabetical order. Come on. All these voters who actually went to vote had to get all these stupid mailers with the other guy's name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wasn't even close to making four here.
Yep, I hear you. There was obviously the malfeasance.
He did no campaigning.
I know. Mm-hmm. Kim in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the oil spill. Hi, Kim.
Hi, I was calling because it's Theological Fridays with Fugelsang, correct?
Bless you, my child.
He's the ecclesiastical MOOC.
Well, because it seems to me, isn't there something in, you know, Genesis? Because don't the Republicans just love the Old Testament about God giving man dominion over the earth, including, like, plants and animals? And, you know, does the right wing, why do they miss this part of theology in the Bible? And do they feel any buyer's remorse over this BP business whatsoever? I just don't understand it.
Well, regarding Genesis, they don't miss that, but all Christianity is buffet Christianity. People pick and choose the parts they want and ignore the rest. And this is a particular example of the Bible where one verse has been skewed by the right to their needs, but not by the left. Now, when God gives man dominion over the earth, environmentalists need to be the ones who embrace that and step up and say, see, you alleged Christians, you have a mandate. Instead, they say, well, we're allowed to pollute all we want. And the sooner the earth is destroyed, the sooner we can have the rapture happen anyway.
Well-known theologian, man of God, Ann Coulter.
Yes, Ann Coulter, who said that,
yes, it's your planet, take it, rape it, it's yours.
Exactly, and Ann Coulter is so Christian, she wants to go and force Muslim leaders to convert to Christianity, then kill them. These folks aren't Christian, they're Christian in name only, or chinos. And some chinos are white, some are brown, most are beige, some are old and wrinkled, most are cut a little too straight, and the majority are highly irregular.
Brian in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Stephanie, hello. I just wanted to answer a question one of your callers asked. How much oil comes from offshore drilling? One-third of the world's oil comes from offshore drilling. The main areas are the North Sea, the Arabian Gulf, and the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well,
what's that? Yeah. Well, someone had asked, but I was saying, you know, I think the this right wing talking point just over and over and over, like, oh, it's because of the environmentalists that we have to drill that far out, and it's just I can't believe it takes, you know, Al Franken to be, you know, the one that to call, you know, on that.
When Sarah Palin says that this spill is environmentalist fault, again, it's like blaming smart people for Sarah Palin. It's like blaming Dracula on Van Helsing. Turn it around, folks.
Exactly.
But George Bush was a good steward of the environment. We know because that's what he said.
Yeah, anyway, this I think it was an oil exec, but was, you know, forced to admit that that's where 95% of the oil is. That's why they're drilling
you
there.
You see the gusher on your TV? That's where the oil is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Today. As we say in the...
Doy.
Today.
That's one thing they do well. They know how to find oil. Stopping something like this, not so much.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah.
You should not be in the business of drilling for oil if you can't deal with the consequences.
Right.
I'm sorry.
But again, this is an area where the government does deserve blame. Ken Salazar should be fired. If Obama wants to really look like he's in charge, he should fire the guy who approved these waivers.
Can I read something from Jan Venner's piece again?
Well, I agree with you because I was saying that I do believe the president had so much on his plate. Absolutely, it is provable that these regulations were put in place by Bush Cheney, but you're right. It was something that should have been done, but it was, you know, I mean, the president's got to delegate, and you're right. It was Ken Salazar's job.
And listen, Obama's big problem is that it's been revealed he's not a reformer. He's a moderate improver, and he's got to step it up, and he's really got to win his base back, especially after the organized labor flap in Arkansas.
He's lost labor, and he's lost the environmentalists, and that's
he's losing
a big
them all.
Part of the base.
And again, Clinton was written off completely at this point in his first term, so Obama's got plenty of time. And if this leak is stopped, and he's, you know, there's been significant cleanup work done in the next 2 years, it's going to help his reelection. If this thing happened, you know, 18 months from now, he'd be finished. So he can still bring it back, but he's got to start being the guy that we thought we elected.
All right. We'll talk more about that. Jim has some stuff from the Rolling Stone piece on the oil spill.
Twink power.
Exactly. As we continue, 45 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Girlfriend, things that make you go ooh. 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 Things that make you go ooh.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, but enough about Carly Fiorina.
Hey!
1-800, Steph 1-2.
So yesterday.
CNC Music Factory is kind of yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was right on that.
Yeah. Day before yesterday.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim, I guess the quote Monday, I'm going to tell you the answer right now. It's going to be Frank Rich, and he'll be here live. So it will be Frank Rich quoting Frank Rich.
Right.
And the answer to guess the quote will be Frank Rich.
Okay.
On Monday, along with the rude pundit of Big O. That's going to be a big show on Monday.
We love him.
And Eric Bullard of Media Matters as well.
Two co-hosts of Rollicking Right Wing World.
Hot.
Mm-hmm. All right, David in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, thanks. I just wanted to bend a little bit of the butt to Blanche Lincoln comments. It just feels like we're being gloated. You know, we supported Obama, and I hate to say it, I'm really rooting he doesn't run in 2012. We need Al Gore to take his rightful place. We should have never been in this position. But why did he give him licenses in the first place? And he's acting like it's a big surprise. He took his Al Gore's endorsement. He should have known to make sure and to go through the details. It just feels like he's just more about politics.
Who? President Obama, you're talking about.
Yeah, he just Rob Emanuel, all these guys have sucked his brains out or something. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. He's got himself surrounded with all these people, and he's drinking all this Kool-Aid, and I think he's missing the big picture of his opportunities.
Well, I mean, I do think that who was the bonehead? Do we have any idea, Chris, at the White House who made this comment about unions?
We don't. It was just an unnamed White House official.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
has organized labor ever done for the White House?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Senator Blanche Lincoln may have survived a primary from Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter, but her narrow runoff victory only exacerbated the family feud between the White House and organized labor. You know who I love? Gerald McEntee. We've had him on.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
He's hilarious. He said, our people are saying, what the hell are we getting out of this? We lost an election on Tuesday, but we laid down a marker. We made the good fight, and we also made the point that we are not going to be boxed in by anybody. Here's the problem, Chris. None of the three major unions that back Halter are likely to support or endorse Lincoln. And, you know, obviously people are saying she's likely to lose. So, you know.
So what was the point of all that?
Exactly.
Maybe they're thinking of the fact that the Supreme Court's decided that corporations are people and can give unlimited amounts to candidates. So they're thinking maybe Lincoln has a better chance than, say, an actual Democrat.
Really? I didn't hear about that. I just heard about Helen Thomas on the news. I didn't know that.
Well, you know, I mean, they're saying that, you know, if the only consolation for the White House is if union officials are mad at Obama, they're really pissed at Bill Clinton. I mean, talk about family feuds.
For real.
McEntee said he called us terrorists in one of those speeches. It's not like he didn't ask our support and Hillary didn't ask our support. We were the first union to support him for governor in Arkansas, and we were on the last bus home for Hillary. I guess he forgot that. It was a slap in the face. Yeah. So, you know, I just think Arkansas was not good news for anybody.
I'm happy to see organized labor standing up for themselves. I really am. And you know what? Someone's got to keep these guys honest. Folks, if we don't remind Obama that he works for us, we're guilty of Bush disease.
Well, you know, Blanche Lincoln killed the public option. I mean, you know, you don't expect people to just forget that.
In Blanche's defense, she's one of the few Democrats who seems serious about working on derivatives. And I hope she can do it. I hope she gets reelected so she can do that now. But yeah, she's the one who killed the public option, along with Obama, who never really was that serious about it.
I think, you know, the Tea Party, as I've said, is a much ado about nothing. I think you guys are right. The progressive base is something they're really going to have to think about.
We better fix
it. Yeah, they're not going to need Ralph Nader to blow it for them this time.
Yeah, right.
And don't forget that every single person on the air on Fox News who is excoriating unions for their moves in Arkansas is themselves a member of a union.
AFTRA.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You've got to be on the air.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I think I mentioned this. I went to a very liberal media elite dinner party here in New York a few weeks ago. Remember I told you it's that dinner party that would have made Fox News' head explode? Bill O'Reilly's head would have. I literally was there with the head of the ACLU. Who else? I can't remember. It was just like a, you know, a glitterati of media liberal elite.
Communists.
Yes. Jeez,
thank you.
Yes.
And I heard they're all Kenyan, too. But go on.
I was hoping that James O'Keefe was in there with a camera, so I would just
dressed as the cable guy.
I would like to Fidel Castro, wouldn't you? Like, just get some good stuff. Just exactly what they think, like, a liberal
party
would
be. You guys weren't poor black people. Why would he want to hurt you?
Anyway, Anthony Romero, who I met at this dinner party, ACLU executive director, he seems to be losing patience with President Obama, which, by the way, he talked about at the dinner party. I was, like, the only Obama defender at the liberal dinner party. He didn't mince words about the administration's handling of civil liberties issues. He said, I'm going to start provocatively. I'm disgusted with this president. He went on to say later, I'm not disgusted with President Obama personally. But, you know, obviously, you know, Jim, as you point out, there are issues all over the progressive base that people are, you know, the natives are restless for sure.
And why has no one been prosecuted from the...
Yeah.
Well, that's part of what Anthony was talking about.
Well, they've begun a softball investigation, but we've now learned that kicking ass means you can resume offshore drilling in shallow waters now.
Yes, exactly.
Thank God that...
there is good news. Heidi left Spencer. Don't despair, folks.
That's right.
Some good news this week.
All right, it's not like all bad news this
week.
Yeah, but she's...
And Carly Fiorina. We have Carly Fiorina. Who, by the way, I love this. So So she insults Meg Whitman and Barbara Boxer, and she only apologizes to Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Greta Van Susteren.
That's who she works for.
Greta Van Susteren asked her, I listened to it, and I said, listen, I thought, uh-oh, Sean's going to be mad at you. Irina says, I talked to Sean a little earlier this evening, and I apologize, because what I was trying to convey is that he's a tough interview. By the way, that's his job. It's his job to be a tough interview, and I'm going to be on his show. That's tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to it.
I look forward to all those questions about her record outsourcing jobs and firing
it. Oh, my goodness. That was so yesterday that I said new things about Sean Hannity. Oh, my God. By the way, I love your hair, Sean.
So yesterday.
His hair is actually so Fred Flintstone, but that's a different story.
Yeah, so Stone Age.
It's really yesterday. Yesteryear. Yeah, century. So what's her name? Representative Virginia Fox. I don't know why. The Republican women just seem to be the gift that keeps on giving. She went on some little radio show, and a caller said, I want the borders to Mexico sealed tight, and I want a dragnet put out for these people to see if we can't catch them. She said, you are very much in the majority in this country. I guess we're pro-dragnet.
Oh, yes.
And
okay.
You and I certainly agree on that. I would encourage you to let your senators know that.
It's too bad Obama only sent 1,800 troops down to the Mexican border because he's an appeaser.
And I think I mentioned this earlier, but that crazy Sharon Engel in Nevada.
Glug, glug, glug.
Her policy positions on her campaign website? Gone.
Magically
disappeared.
They're
really? All gone. No. Yes. There's just one message. Just to donate. Donate. Harry Reid, bad. Me, good. Give now. Never mind my crazy positions about getting rid of Social Security, Department of Education. Forget it.
So she wants to stop drinking in Vegas, but I guess she's fine with prostitution and gambling. So that
we don't know her Your positions on that.
Are you pro-ho? For instance?
Although, for the record, prostitution is illegal in Clark County, where
really?
Las Vegas is, yes.
Yes, it's illegal in
Reno. It's legal in Nye County, the county next door.
No, and it's a career move in Laughlin.
All right. Okay. That's it for us. You know, you can find out all things Fuglesangian on
JohnFuglesang.com.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.